Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but the day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
So as it is a Too Stupid Thursday, a stupid question for Chuck as we welcome it in this morning. Chuck, if I hit a house and they're not home and it doesn't do any damage, do you do anything?
Never happened.
Okay, never happened.
Never happened.
Never happened.
Yeah.
I think that's
it's like if a tree falls in the woods, nobody's there to hear it. Did it really fall?
Yeah. No, you go the other way. That's why you'd never put your name on your golf ball. You know, some of these people will call and order golf balls with their name on it.
That's
so don't put your name on your golf ball because if it's inside their home and the window is broken, then, you know, they have the evidence.
To me, that's like when your mom used to put your name on your boxers or your clothes and stuff. I feel like that's very childlike to do that. Maybe I'll have a different opinion when I actually have money that I can invest on golf balls with my name on
them. Those aren't investments, Ty.
They're just stupid purchases, I guess. Chuck, it's not, again, it's a Too Stupid Thursday. I don't think we'll see anything stupid this weekend.
Surely not.
Yeah, hopefully not. In Baumwalker Stadium, maybe we'll gripe it an up here and there. But you've got some great.
Sure. No one's going to be hollering blue by about 6:15 tonight, are they?
I did see someone tagged me, and he's like, you need to show this to Tommy, some of the officiating last night between the 76ers and the Clippers. We'll maybe get to that later. But, Chuck, this is an incredible pitching duel. I know we don't get to see Smith and Holman. Holman's going tomorrow night while Smith's going tonight. But LSU leads the team, or leads the SEC in strikeouts, and they got some dudes that are going to be throwing from the mound starting at 6 o'clock tonight.
They do. They're good. Arkansas is good, and it ought to be a great series. You know, it's interesting the way LSU is Jay Johnson's going to manage the series. He's pitching off tonight, almost like it's a regional.
Yeah.
He's wanting to win this series. They're 2-4. Yes, they've got a lot of talent, but the bottom line is they're 2-4, and they've still got a tough road. As Tommy was outlining a few days ago, they've still got a tough road after they leave here. So, you know, they're trying to win the series, and I'm certain he feels like that throwing his best guy on Saturday night, or I guess it'll be Friday night now against Molina, is going to give them the best chance to, you know, win a ball game Saturday night or Friday night, and then they try to outslug him on Saturday. I understand his strategy. I don't think it's unsound, but, you know, I guess we'll see if it works.
And it's also a – is it a little bit of a tip of the cap to how good Hagen Smith is?
Well, yeah, certainly it is. You know, Arkansas has done this a time or two over the years, and other teams do too. You're facing a guy on Friday night that, you know, is just almost unbeatable. And, you know, the last thing in the world you want your team to have is your best pitcher lose 1-0, you know, throw 8 or 9 innings and lose 1-0. Then what are you going to do the next day? And so I understand why he's doing it. Yes, it's a tip of the cap to Hagen. But I'm sure also, too, he feels like his guy can beat Molina on Friday night.
Well, and I'm sure LA, and I don't have a specific example to cite, but I'm sure LSU saw this plenty last year when they had Paul Skeens, and people were trying to maybe run this same strategy. I can't say, well, yeah, this was done in the Mississippi State series. I don't know that, but I'm sure as good as Paul Skeens was, people are starting to make the comparison with Hagan Smith this year and Skeens from last year, and that's a reasonable comparison. So I'm sure LSU was getting a little bit of the other end of this last year.
Well, it's not like LSU's guys chop liver. I mean, his ERA is better than Smith's.
Yeah. 0.78. So, I mean,
it's not like he's lousy. This is about him feeling like that his guy, his best guy, can beat Molina on Friday night, and they can win the series by outslugging him on Saturday. I would say in every year of SEC baseball, this happens at least once somewhere in some series. Yes, I'm sure it did happen with Skeens at LSU last year, and it's happened with other guys over the years. But that's his strategy. Let's split this thing a game apiece and duke it out Sunday afternoon.
So
Saturday afternoon.
Two things there.
I hate not playing Sunday, by the way.
Really?
Well, yeah, I think it's terrible.
Even on Easter?
Even on Easter?
Easter might be the exception, but I don't like these Thursday, Friday, Saturday things. Phil and I were talking about this. When I did baseball games, and when people talk to me now about, I used to listen to you broadcast baseball games, I would say half the time they'd say, you know, I used to listen on Sunday afternoons, me and my dad, you know, or Sunday afternoon is baseball listening. That's the baseball listening day on the radio. And I think for our purposes, it'd be nice if they played on Sunday.
It also is opening day today. We failed to mention that in the first 30 minutes.
That's right.
How are you feeling about the Cardinals this year?
Well, you know, cautiously optimistic. I'm hopeful, as I always am on opening day, but they don't have enough pitching. You know, now they may have enough to, you know, finish upper half in the worst division in baseball, but mm-hmm. I'm hopeful. I mean, I'm always hopeful. I got a new cap. I got a new Cardinals cap for the year. So, we'll see if that changes their fortunes.
I saw you drinking out of the Cardinals koozie the other day with your water bottle or whatever.
Yeah.
Me? And?
No, sorry.
He's looking at me.
I'm looking at Tommy.
Is that some kind of signal?
I didn't know if you were going to go to a game or anything this year.
I have not taken Dylan or Abigail, my two youngest. I've took my oldest to a Cardinals game. I would like to do, that's one of the things I'd like to do this summer with my kids. You know, a little quick weekend trip to St. Louis, see a game or two. You know, take them up in the arch. Do eat on the hill, all the things you like to do in St. Louis. So yeah, I would like to go to a game more for the family experience than, you know, and I've said this before, and I think Chuck's probably talked to a lot of people that feel the same way. My fandom and my time invested in Razorback baseball has almost eliminated my ability or desire to watch Major League Baseball on a daily basis. Now, I think when you get a little older than me and it became more of a life routine for so many years like it was for Chuck and other people I know of the same age, they're still in that habit. But I've gotten so used because I listen to Chuck on the radio do the baseball games. I've gone to a lot of Razorback games. You only got so many hours in the day, days in a week. You only spend so much time watching sports if you have a family. So Razorback baseball takes up a lot of my baseball budget, if you will.
Tommy's the reason the Cardinals aren't any good.
Yep.
Because they go every year. They don't care if they win or not. They just want to take their family. Right. They just want to eat.
I want to eat a good Italian meal.
Hang out, go to the arch. They don't care if they win.
Nope.
That's why they're not any good. It's Tommy's fault.
Mm-hmm. I'll lump myself in there because I am going to see a Cardinals series at some point this summer. I've got friends that just moved and bought a house not too far from Busch Stadium.
You don't even care if they win. You're just going to drink beer and have a good time.
They have beer in St. Louis?
They do have beer.
Oh.
And especially in the outfield seat. So I haven't been to Busch Stadium, Chuck, since I guess it would have been my freshman. It's been 10 years, and I just want to go back. I went to Wrigley, and I'd like to go. I'm going to go to Chicago at some point this summer. I'd like to see that. I don't. Y'all know that I'm not this big, giant baseball fan, but I do have.
I would have never guessed. No,
I do have a great respect though for those two ballparks specifically. And I know it's not the old Busch Stadium, but just the historical significance, one with a lot more championships, of course, than the others. No offense, Big C. We'll see how Cody Bellinger and the guys do this year. But it is just cool. Like, if you're just a casual sports fan, both those parks are awesome venues to, as you said, yeah, take your family to, Ty, or just experience.
Ty, give us your thoughts on the shift and its effect on the game.
Depends on if it.
I was really asking.
Depends on
if it works.
Yeah, depends on if it works.
I mean, if it works, it's great.
The coach called a good. I mean, you see,
they call them managers in the big league. Yeah, but that's okay.
And when you see the outfielders and stuff look at their wristband, or when they pull up that card or whatever for Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas is. You were talking about again the fandom. Arkansas is almost run like a major league organization. Like, you ask any player that's playing professionally in the minors or whatever, the facilities here in Fayetteville are better. And then if you just watch how they go about certain things during the course of a game, it's very...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true for other sports, too.
Yeah, it's money.
I mean, Tyler...
Here's the thing about minor league baseball. Here's how it works. They want to turn a profit. I mean, everybody wants to turn a profit. That's hard to do in minor league baseball right now. But in minor league baseball, Ty, your team can be 25 games under 500. But if you develop a couple of big leaguers off that minor league team, it's served its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care really if you win or lose. You care about developing players. And I can tell you from, you know, early in my broadcast career, and Phil knows this, I went down and did the Travelers games as a fill-in a few times way back in the day, Ray Winder Field. I'm telling you, caves at Devil's Den are nicer than the Travelers' old locker room at Ray Winder Field. And that's the truth. I mean, it was like walking into a cave at Devil's Den. It was unbelievable.
Is that bad?
And that's how...
Devil's Den, the cave smelled better.
It was like going spelunking down there at Devil's Den. I mean, it really was. And now it's better now, because minor league teams understand now that you can't attract people into old ballparks anymore. You got to have new stuff. Even a place like Wrigley Field... You walk into Wrigley Field now, and you walk into Wrigley Field 15 years ago, it's a totally different ballpark. The only thing that's the same is the Ivy.
You mentioned making money. The concessions help do with that. Skeeter in Fort Smith points out on the McCarty Daniel Hotline that there is a new hot dog in Busch Stadium that has two fried eggs and nacho meat on it. How much do you think that runs for? $18?
About $24, $25.
Yeah, and Phil was talking about this. You know, I know we're getting away from our topic of Arkansas LSU, but these ballparks are creating these oversized kind of community foods, because you don't get the 42-ounce milkshake to eat by yourself. You get it because you've went with eight people in your family or your buddy, yeah, and everybody gets a bite. Or you get the $25 hot dog and everybody, you know, tries a little bit of it. It's become more of a community-type deal. So, but it is expensive anymore. I mean, it's expensive to go to an Arkansas game and go to the concession stand. It's really
when you and your bros go to Wrigley, Ty, it's going to cost you some money to drink beer all day.
Oh,
I'm just going to tell you.
Will it? No. Well,
it's going to cost you some change.
It's about 18 anymore if you go about anywhere, but you do get the big can in most places.
Okay, good.
But it's still about a $20 bill.
Well, the outfield. You just go to the outfield and get the unlimited package in both places, right?
I went to see the game.
I don't know about that part. I haven't heard the unlimited package in the outfield.
Oh, yeah. They've got
it. He thinks it's free because it's unlimited.
Yeah, it's free, just like the North End Zone. Well, back to Bomb Walker Stadium, where the beer is free if you bring it in this weekend. Tommy, I know you're going to be at the...
Own.
Yeah, you're excited to go today. We were talking about Luke Holman there. So Luke Holman, for those that don't know, is LSU stud. He's the guy that you won't see tonight. He's not going to get Tegan Smith like we were talking about. He's going tomorrow. This was what Dave Van Horn had to say about the Alabama transfer that's now pitching for LSU.
He pitched pretty good against us, and we finally broke loose a little bit, but really kind of focusing on this year from what I've seen and what I've watched, he's just better. You know, he's throwing the ball over the plate. He's got really, really good stuff, good secondary stuff. I mean, I think his batting average against him is amazing. So he's doing everything you're supposed to do as a number one. ERA is under one, and he just isn't giving up much. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to throw him tomorrow or Friday or Saturday, but when we do face him, it's going to be a handful.
You mentioned this earlier. Again, as good as Hagen Smith's been, Holman's ERA is better. I know that's hard for us to comprehend and understand, but
Hagen's still got that one inning though, kind of in the math. But
yeah,
he's been really effective his last four or five starts or whatever it's been.
Well, the thing that you have to remember now, and we focus way too much on strikeouts, number one, and way too much on individual matchups sometimes, but it's about winning games now. It's about winning games. And you're into conference play, and sure, you'd love for Hagan Smith to have the best ERA in the league, and sure, you'd love for him to have more strikeouts than their guy, and their guy would love to have more strikeouts than some other team's guy, but it's only about winning games now. That's all it's about.
Yep, and we've mentioned, Dave kind of alluded to yesterday why there's been a shift in the rotation, because it's no longer Smith, Tigert, Molina. It's Smith, Molina, Tigert. Here's the reason and rationale for that.
You know, as far as the rotation, we're going to change it up just a little bit. We're going to go Smith, Molina, and Tigert in that order. Just want to give Brady another day to get right. So that's kind of the way we're going to do it. All three of our starters are experienced older kids that don't get too riled up or too rattled so far anyway. And, you know, I just feel like that they're all going to give us a good start. If one of them doesn't go good, then yeah, that could make a difference if it's early in the series compared to late in the series on who we bring in.
He just talked about getting Brady a little more rest. I know that his pitch count is maybe a little higher than it should be at this point. He's still got good stats. You look at what he's done this year. He's got a 1.59 ERA. He's only given up 15 hits, 330 pitches to this point. But I could see, and I was thinking about this because it's set in stone, Chuck, to me that Hagan's your Friday night guy, or Thursday or Saturday, whenever you start the series. I get that. But I could see them potentially moving this permanently. We're going to see how this weekend goes against LSU. I don't know if it's set in stone that it's just Smith, Tigert, Molina. I think this could be a possibility that we see maybe a change.
Well, why
in the
do
rotation.
You think that? Do you think that or do you wonder that?
I just thought that with Brady, and again, I just listed out stats. He hasn't necessarily struggled this year.
Have you looked at the walks? Have you? I mean, the thing that's the Tigers not pitched as well.
Yeah.
Now, and he has labored. I think that's what's. But you know, LSU, as we've discussed, has changed their rotation too. I hear what you're saying, but I just think it's a stretch to say I think this may be this way the rest of the year. There's no reason to think that, you know, right now. I mean, it's logical to wonder, but there's no reason to come to the conclusion yet that you think it's going to be that way. We'll see how it goes this weekend, and we'll move on from there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the walks. I think it's kind of like turnovers in football. I think when you look up at the end of this weekend and you add up which staff had the most free which team had the most free passes, be it walks and errors and just gave free bases away, that's probably the team that I'd say is going to lose this series. So I mean,
well, you can't walk people, you can't give up extra outs.
You can't give free opportunities. No doubt about it. Hey, springtime's coming, Chuck, and a lot of people think about listing their homes. They need the perfect partner when they're getting ready to buy
or
sell. I got them.
Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company, has been my partner multiple occasions. You've heard me talking about them. You've heard me talk about my experience with them. The key to the whole thing was the line of communication. I mean, it really was. From the first time to the second time, and as we move forward, you know, the first time particularly, I had no idea what was going on. I needed someone to talk me through that. And anybody who's been through this understands what I'm saying. And then when it comes time to sell, that's when you really want that line of communication to be open. And that was my experience. They kept me apprised of everything that was going on. They got me from contract to close. They listened to me. And that was important to me. And I think it's one of the big reasons that things turned out as well as they did for me and for the other folks, too. So that was my experience, and that's what I can tell you about. And I think that'll be your experience, too. Now, they've got offices in Northwest Arkansas. They're in Washington County. They're in Benton County. They're in the Fort Smith area. You hear us talking about their office in Branson. They've got a great selection of homes. You can go online and check it out. You can visit their website at WeikerGriffin.com.
So not only do we have Arkansas baseball this weekend, we also have the NCAA tournament. It resumes later on today. One of the things that I think is stupid, I understand why they do it, is they don't spread out these games. And I know that people are at work, and I know that you get more eyes on it if you put them later on at night. But you have it stacked at 6, 6:39, 8:39, and 9:09. You can start these games at lunchtime. Go lunch, 3, 6, 9.
Yeah.
And you will still have great viewership of these games, starting with Clemson and Arizona.
When you've paid what, $1.6 billion or whatever it is a year, great and good enough.
Well, here's the deal, too. I'm going to offer an honest opposite opinion there. They ran those games consecutively over the weekend, and half of them sucked. Yeah. I mean, if you've got a blowout game and there's nothing to go to, that's not any good. That's bad programming. That's bad television. That's when you lose eyeballs. That's when people turn away to other things, which I did, because the games weren't any good. You can't play Thursday and Friday and start at noon. I mean, you just yeah, can't do that.
Sure, you can.
I'm going to tell you,
I can watch all day. No, you can't. Take off.
But I will tell you, over the weekend when CBS ran all those games back to back to back, the danger there is, in a society that wants immediate gratification, you better have a good game right now, or they're gone. And if there's not another game for them to turn to, you might not get them back.
They don't have any control of that.
So I'm
part.
Taking the opposite view from you, Ty, which I know is odd. But that's
I don't know if that's ever happened. Is that a first time thing?
Well, I'm gonna, you know, just.
I think your view is short sighted. How about that?
I think it's selfish and only caring about your corner of the world. I can just tell you, coming back from a vacation last week out west, and in the West Coast time zone and the Pacific time zone, or as you say, the specific time zone.
Specific.
The game started out there just after 9 a.m. Now, I don't want to say I had my finger on the pulse of what was going on in Arizona and Nevada, but there wasn't a lot of buzz on the street or people really worried about the NCAA tournament out there.
That's because they're granola out there. Well, they don't care about sports.
Hey,
where are they having the Final Four?
Phoenix.
Okay, that's where I'm talking about.
I'm just saying.
They're not eating a lot of granola.
They're not eating a lot of granola.
Granola's a term for outdoorsy and hikey and all that crap.
But I'm just telling you, they got
that in Arizona. Yeah, not in southern Arizona.
Right. I mean, but you realize when you start these games at these times at 11 a.m. and you have to because of the number of games, man, you eliminate everything west of the Rockies pretty much. I mean,
the first time you spend a Sunday in football season in California, you understand the time change.
Yeah.
When that pro football game comes on at 9 o'clock in the morning.
And it's not a rerun. it's real.
I mean, you're watching football in the morning, and 4 o'clock game's at 1 o'clock. I mean, it's a whole different deal.
Hold up. I just want to make sure I'm understanding this right. The two older gentlemen on this program are mad about games starting earlier and ending earlier?
I didn't say I was mad about it.
You're talking about ratings and the numbers.
Yeah, you were saying that they ought to play them all day long. All I was saying was you can't do that on a Thursday or Friday. Not with the NCAA basketball tournament.
From a business standpoint, it's a killer.
It'd be suicide.
Yeah.
People would leave work and watch games.
Ty, not everybody has the freedom you have to just do what they want. You know,
I do have
some people
to do it
punch the time clock, and if they're not, they got someone looking over their shoulder every moment of the day. Maybe that's more of what you need.
No, I need the least amount of structure as possible. Well, all right.
You would perform better with more structure.
My performance review is coming up. Mm-hmm. Best game of the day.
Chuck, can you do that for me this year?
Oh, gosh.
Depends on what we're reviewing.
His performance. Air quotes. Performance.
My eloquent English, Chuck.
I think Clay gave you a pretty good performance.
Well, you're a noted linguist, number one. I think that would be the first thing I would say.
Noted.
You're a noted linguist. I heard Ty got after you, or Clay got after you yesterday. What happened?
It was deserved. But I did check into it, as he said. And you know what? I was right.
Lucky your head's still okay. He told Clay he missed stories in his career. I thought, Ty's getting ready to get killed. He's getting ready to get killed.
You may have overstated what I said.
It was along those lines.
Happens when it comes to discussing me from time to time.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, before we talk to our friend Tom Murphy, let's talk to Ryan is in Hot Springs. He's got some thoughts on this, too. Ryan, go ahead, man.
Hey, morning, guys. Morning, Chuck. I hope you're having a good day, buddy.
Man, I am. I hope you are, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm headed home to go home to take care of a sick kid. So this will be an interesting day. It's all right, though. I get to watch the rest of y'all show on YouTube. So that's the bright side. It's kind of funny, you know, it's talking about the sleep thing. You know, if I know I'm going hunting or fishing, all I need is 4 hours. If I'm having to go to work, I need minimum five to eight. But it's kind of funny, you know, when I was a kid, especially that first day, you know, the water tent was getting right to go fishing, and you know, you knew it was going to be a good day. I couldn't hardly sleep, but you know, 4 hours sleep, I was ready to go. So, but I just think it's kind of funny though. It kind of depends on your motivation on how much sleep you need. I feel like that kind of ties into what Ty was saying about the big win in San Francisco and how he didn't need as much sleep.
Yeah, that El Pastor burrito at 11:30 at night was good enough for me, Ryan. So on big events the next day, it's definitely one of those things where I get a little apprehensive, a little fidgety.
We're living on adrenaline.
Yes, so, and yeah. It was flowing through my veins after that victory over the number one overall seed. All right, let's welcome in our friend Tom Murphy into the program this morning. Ryan, appreciate your call. Tom, it is opening day, my man. Your Atlanta Braves are a team that will have something to say about playoff run and potentially a World Series. How do you feel about the Braves this season?
Good morning, guys. I feel great. We have a good roster, a lot of pitchers. I think we're supposed to open in Philadelphia, and it might have already been postponed. I don't know. But why are we opening in Philadelphia, man? We need to be opening in Atlanta. It's warmer in Atlanta. But anyway, we should have a good team. Who can beat the Dodgers, though? That's the big question, I guess.
And all that money that they spend in the offseason. I know the storyline has been on Shohei Ohtani, and we discussed that a little bit on Tuesday. But to bring it back home, still sticking with baseball, Arkansas baseball hosting a top 10 team of the LSU Tigers. What did you think about Dave's decision to shift Molina and Tiger from their typical positions, what they've been in the rotation this year?
Well, he said it's nothing physical with Brady. They're working on something with his mechanics and on his release, and they hope to give it another day, I guess, to get it straightened out. And it could be a little message. You know, if you're going to walk this many people and have trouble with your control, then let's put you in the last game of the weekend slot. But I don't know anything beyond that. You know, Molina has been hard to hit, and he's held teams down generally, but it's the control factor, and you can see he got frustrated against Auburn when he wasn't getting some close calls, and you could just tell by his demeanor on the mound and getting out of that fourth inning when they had a lot of guys on base and he had to battle through that. That was a big deal in the final game. So, look, you know, Arkansas leads the country in ERA, and Tiger has been really sharp. He's been hard to hit. He's got a very low ERA, but you could tell he got a little frustrated too with having to come out the other day. So we'll see how that plays out. And if it works well for him, they might stick with it. If Tiger regains his control, they might move him back up.
Yeah. Some of this, I think LSU knows that, hey, their backs are, I don't know if they're pressed firmly to the wall, but they're certainly close to the wall. Their schedule is just unbelievably difficult the first half of their SEC schedule. I don't know if it's a must-win, Tom, but they cannot afford to get swept this weekend in Fayetteville and at least stay in the race at this point in the West.
Yeah, that's the way you think. And so they're not starting their ace, Luke Holman, against Hagan Smith tonight. Looks like he'll go in game two. And, I mean, he's been really tough to hit. Then low batting average against. He was at Bama last year, and obviously he's pitching a lot better for them this year. I'm not sure, you know, there's great talent on that team, but you look at them, they're batting .293. They got a couple tough, you know, Travinsky's hitting well, and Tommy White at third base is hitting well. But, you know, they're not getting up and down the order type hitting. But they do show patience. They're a good two-strike hitting team. And Arkansas is going to have its hands full. I expect this to be – I know that there's some national media coming in to cover this one, so this is going to be a fun one, 1-7.
Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty-Daniel Hotline. Let's shift gears to football because Sam Pittman's going to speak with the media later today. You've been at spring practice since it resumed a couple of days ago. What did you see the last few days? And anything you anticipate to hear from Coach Petrino later on?
Let's see. It's been really cool to be able to view all the practices so far. I mean, we've gotten to see every period, and well-oiled machine might be a way to put it. It never ceases to amaze me how well they coordinate, where everybody's going to be, especially when they go indoors, because that's a lot of guys out there, and they run from drill to drill really nicely. I wrote about on Tuesday when they came back from spring break how, you know, the ball was on the ground too much. I think there was a fumble or two that were, like, unforced. Just a guy lost the ball. And there was a couple of picks. So I expect ball security to be a focus and probably better today. Not sure what they're going in. They were in shoulder pads and shorts on Tuesday. They might go full pads, but obviously we got the scrimmage coming up on Saturday. And I tell you, I think this receiving core, I think they're going to work out okay. If you've got lead guys like Andrew Armstrong and Tyrone Broden, who's much better, Isaac Teslaw had a great day on Tuesday, and then you've got the sort of guy like Satania, who's going to give you the speed factor, and then the younger guys like Davion Dozier or Jadon Wilson. You got Davion Dozier and Dazzin James who are coming up. There's going to be some options to throw to for Taylen Green and company. Yeah.
You've watched the practices to this point. Give us the Tom Murphy depth chart in your opinion at quarterback. There's a ton of conversation around it. Who's won? A lot of people think Green. What? How do you see 1, 2, 3 at quarterback so far on your viewing of practice?
Well, I don't think we've seen anyone else but Taylen Green take snaps with the ones, or all of Taylen Green's snaps have been with the ones. Some of the other quarterbacks might have gotten a few reps with the starting guys, but the battles really looks like for the two spot, and Malachi Singleton has taken more reps there than Jacoby Criswell, who in fastball starts on Tuesday just wasn't on the same page with his wideouts. I mean, the wideout's cutting in, he's throwing out, and that happened on a couple of plays on fastball. And I mean, that's where they really focus on getting off to a sharp start. So, got to clean that up, but that's the 1, 2, 3, and so far it's Green, Singleton, and then Criswell.
Talking with Tom Murphy here on the McLarty-Daniel Hotline. Tom, you mentioned focus. That was a word you just used. The focus right now, the athletics department has continued to improve Arkansas Edge. They've got this new Drive to Five initiative. I don't know how many members are currently within that program. I know for Tennessee, it's just under 4,000. Ole Miss has got over 6,000. Do you think that it has been successful in the first few months, in your opinion, with Arkansas Edge?
Well, I think there's concern out there, because when I go around and talk to folks, the worry is not being able to keep up with the Joneses in the SEC. And you know, there's some programs out there, you know, A&M and Bama and Georgia, LSU, they're not struggling to have enough money. And so the concern is, that I think that's why they're promoting this drive, is they've got to get stronger back in the game. I have not heard any, you know, partial numbers at this point in terms of how many people they have signed up for it, but it, obviously it's a very key part of maintaining in college football right now, and or in a college athletic. So they've got to get on more on their A game to, you know, to improve the product, so to speak. And then it comes down to, well, we want to see a better football product. Well, you know, what does it take? Well,
chicken or egg?
It's exactly. So it's a precarious scenario right now that, you know, they're trying to get ahead of it some, and we'll see what the results on the field yield this year. But a good football season is obviously going to help with that.
Yeah. Well, my old country boy math would say if they were anywhere close to their original goals, they wouldn't be rejuvenating this campaign, rebranding it, and ushering it out the way they did yesterday.
Agree with that, Tommy. Yeah, so I think that's when I go around and talk to some folks, that's the concern, is that the numbers have got to get much better.
All right, Tom, appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you at the ballpark, Arkansas and LSU, and we'll hear more from you next week on the scrimmage on Saturday.
Outstanding. It looks like we're having a good weekend, so everybody take care.
All right, Tom Murphy with us here on opening day for Major League Baseball. His Atlanta Braves, he said, is in Philly. Brought to you, and he was on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Chuck, I just wonder, you know, they're really rejuvenating and bringing this campaign out with the collective. I mean, it just makes sense to me. Maybe I'm being too simpleton here and just connecting easy dots, but if they were anywhere close to where they wanted to be originally 4 months ago, I don't think they'd be making this kind of push right now.
You know, I'm not sure exactly what the figures are, and I don't know that any of us really know. We hear things. I hear things. I'm sure you guys do, and it's a focal point of a lot of conversations. And the general consensus, you know, whether it's accurate or not, the general consensus is that Arkansas is trailing there. And there's logic to what you just said. This is the way the game's played now. Now, there may be a point down the road where it changes. I think there will be. I think we'll go to revenue share at some point. But we're not to that point yet. And you may not like this setup, but it's the setup that we have. And if you're going to win, you have to have money in NIL. You just do. You have to have it. You have to have lots of it. It may fly in the face of everything you've ever thought about sports. Boy, sometimes it does for me. But it is the world we live in now. And the rest of the world's not going to stop just because we don't like NIL. Now, I do think there are some realities that are coming to bear for a lot of places, including our place, about how this is simply not going to work long term. That's why I do think there will be other routes for players to be paid. The idea, and I'll go back to what I've always said, the idea of paying players was because of these obscene television contracts. Well, they're not getting any of that money. You know, you've created basically another well of money that comes from fans.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a way to get them that television money, or this whole thing's going to fall apart. And it's, as we said at the very beginning, more than ever going to be a situation where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And if you're in the wrong camp, it's going to be tough.
Guys, if they could convince 5,000 Razorback fans to commit $50 a month or $600 a year, that's still $3 million. That's nowhere near the numbers we hear you need, and that's the gross. I mean,
they'll buy a QB.
Well, I mean, get your quarterback.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so I mean, what I'm saying is the task is, I think, far more monumental than just 5,000 fans giving $50 a month, mm-hmm. because the numbers don't add up, and that's $3 million before you've paid staff, before you've paid for the, you know, for the incentive prizes and all those things that leave you with 2.something million, probably 2.8, 2.9, whatever. But the reality is it's going to take a lot more than 5,000 people, and it's probably going to take more than $50 from a lot of them.
Yeah, you add up that money. It's just math.
It's simple math.
I can't, and maybe I'm just, this is flawed thinking, I can't wrap my head around or comprehend that Ole Miss is kicking our you-know-whats in this category if we were on the same level of a football program right now.
But we're not. They won 10 games.
But we're not, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Do you really know what's in their kitty? Do you really know what's in there?
All you have to do is look at who they got out of the portal. Proof's in the pudding, Chuck. You don't have to have factual numbers. All you have to do is see that they had the number one or number two in every single recruiting ranking out of the transfer portal.
What I'm asking you, Ty, is do they have more money or are they spending their money more wisely?
Are they spending their money more wisely? Well, they have a better high school recruiting class and a better transfer recruiting class.
So there's a difference, though. I mean, if you've got appreciably more money than everybody else, you can buy your way out of your mistakes. If you don't have appreciably more money than everybody else, you can't miss. So that's what I'm asking. Does Ole Miss have more money than everybody else, or is Ole Miss just spending their money more wisely? And your answer is, I don't know, because none of us do. There's no question Ole Miss has got it going in football better than Arkansas does right now. The logical, to some people, assumption is, well, they've got a better NIL. Now, just for the record, I think they probably do. But I don't think they're as flush as everyone says they are.
Yeah. Until they open the books, and I think we're a long ways from that, we'll probably never know.
We just don't know. That's that continues to be the frustrating part.
Maybe they should do it like the Jell-O shots in Omaha. Just put a board up.
Hey, here's the thing right now. Every football program that's not doing it, there's always one program out there. Every program that's not doing it, if Ole Miss is doing it, how come we can't do it?
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Let's get into our Hog Update this morning. Arkansas baseball, LSU starting tonight at 6 o'clock. You'll hear it on most of these ESPN Arkansas radio stations. The promotions, guys, they're doing mini flags tonight. It's a red out on Friday and a flyover on Saturday. That's my dad's favorite thing in all of sports when he's attending. The USAF E3 Century is flying over, plus fireworks and some other stuff if you're going to the game this weekend. One of the players you're excited to watch is Vahibo Loy, who's been on a tear as of late. Here's what Dave had to say about his shortstop transfer.
He was tearing it up when the season started against our pitching, and our pitching obviously is pretty good. And then when the season started, I think he tried to do too much. Then he tried to catch up, and he finally just said, heck with it. You know, I'm going to take what they give me. They want to walk me, all they can walk me. If they want to come in, they can come in, but he's done a lot better job lately of swinging at better pitches. You know, you're going to go out of the zone every now and then because you just do. You get fooled a little bit, or maybe you're guessing for something. You get it. It's just a little more away than you thought it was when it left their hand. But I feel like that he's a very confident kid, and it's really good to get him rolling a little bit.
Guys, he's got 5 home runs on the year. He's tied with Kendall Diggs with that category, and then also 24 base hits and 24 RBIs. So as slow as the start he's had, he's kind of got back in the swing of things, pun intended.
And I don't say it's feast or famine with him, but, you know, the home run production, and I know Dave talked about him being frustrated with it. He seemed to have figured that part out, Chuck.
Well, he's from Hawaii. He played ball in California. Awful cold in Arkansas in February and early March. I really do think things like that matter. And I think he's fine now. It's starting to feel a little bit more like baseball out there, and I'll bet his numbers are really good as we go along.
He's an exciting player to watch, as is Hagan Smith, which you'll get a chance to see tonight. We mentioned Luke Holman is starting for the LSU Tigers tomorrow. That's a guy you got to keep an eye on. Also, some guys you played last year who had successful outings against you, Travinsky and White. That's who Dave is really monitoring this weekend.
Well, they both have tremendous power. They do a great job of driving in runs. You know, you won 27 and one's got 23 RBIs, and it's veterans, it's strength, it's opposite field power, pull power. They can get you hit when they need to. 2-strike hitters, they'll fight you. I mean, it's just two really tough bats in the middle of that lineup.
Travinsky's their catcher. Tommy White is one of the best hitters in all of baseball. He's hitting .333. He's got 29 hits, 27 RBIs. Last year, just for example, he torched you. 8 RBIs during the series against Arkansas. So he is, again, on the minds of many baseball coaches that have to go up against him, and really successful against Arkansas's last time out.
Yep, and I mean, I think this is going to be a pitcher's weekend. I mean, I don't think – I'll be surprised if we see a lot of 8 to 6 ball games, 10 to 8 games. I think tonight, Chuck, this could be one of those – Friday night type games where it's 2-1, 3-2, 1-0. I mean, I expect to see.
Well, you never know.
You never know, but that's what I'm expecting to see tonight. Is a game under 3 hours and probably not a lot of runs on the board.
Depends on who throws strikes. I mean, that will oftentimes determine, you know, games like this where you've got some hype going in. I don't think it's going to affect Smith. I don't know if it'll affect their guy or not. Look, LSU's been everybody's big opponent for a long time, and I don't think there's going to be any awe on their part. If Arkansas wins this series, and I think they will, but if Arkansas wins this series, it'll be because Arkansas is better, and not because LSU's going to be wowed by anything.
That is your Hog Update this morning. It is brought to you by our friends, as always, at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8 Sparky.
All right, so a lot to discuss in hour number three. I want to talk about some of the top earners in the NCAA tournament players, and you'll be surprised at some of these facts and figures that it comes to how much these different players are making. In fact, who's making the most money might surprise you too. You know how the company you keep kind of molds you mm-hmm. and stuff? I wouldn't say I have the most, what's the word? Friends-wise, I don't have the best company, I say. Like, you know how I told you the story?
They're not the most sophisticated group?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
You hang out with Lola.
It is a Too Stupid Thursday, and the guy that just lost our fantasy league is in the midst. You know how that Greyhound bus punishment I told you about?
Yes.
Where he has to ride a Greyhound bus for more than 24 hours from Nashville, Tennessee to San Antonio, Texas for his anniversary with his girlfriend. And
anniversary with his girlfriend.
Yes. Yeah. He is he's currently had 2 delays already. So instead of 24 hours, it's gonna be more like 27 or 28. As he continues to update us on his road to San Antonio, Texas.
Are y'all getting pictures and videos?
He's updating us each and every town he stops at.
All right, there you go.
Make sure he's got that camera rolling when he gets shot.
Yeah. that's kind of a rough ending.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
I mentioned Caitlin Clark, and that immediately sparked a text from Andy in Mountain Home saying he's tired of her antics. And I don't blame him. I think her own dad is tired of seeing how much she complains, moans, and is irritable towards the referees. They escaped the other night as they move on, but she is the highest, again, in the NCAA tournament. This doesn't include Bronny James, Libby Dunn, I think Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, but of the NCAA tournament participants that are currently still in, she's the highest earner with over $3
million. $3.1
million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reading the notes you put together on this morning, and it had Gatorade, and it had the different, you know, because there was a very high-profile Gatorade commercial she was featured in the other night. But that's what NIL was intended to do, right? Is exactly what we're talking about here. She's made over $3 million doing commercials for 3 or 4 different major national brands. But that's not what NIL...
Because you think
really
she's
is
earned it based on what she's achieved.
Based on her athletic performance and the way she's connected with fans, Gatorade and these others. Where's that list of the four? There's three or four different ones.
Well, the top three are female.
Gatorade, Nike, State Farm, Buick, and something called Gainbridge are all part of that 3-point. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the essence of what NIL was intended to do?
You know, you look at the top three earners on the female side. Angel Reese is at $1.8 million. And shockingly to me, Flave Johnson of LSU's women's teams at $1.1. Those are the top three earners that remain in the NCAA tournament. And the answer to your question is, in many respects, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I don't know, I doubt, when Caitlin Clark was recruited by Iowa, that there was a lot of money that changed hands. I doubt that. But obviously, she has become a star. Ty, are you old enough? Well, you're not old enough. Tommy, maybe. Do you remember when Danny Ainge played?
Oh, yeah.
When Danny Ainge was a player. She's the female Danny Ainge.
Yeah, he complained after everything.
Can shoot like crazy, knows how to play the game, but complains about every call, about halfway dirty, flops at the drop of a hat. She is the female Danny Ainge.
Good comparison.
Bird, that's a great – Bird always made fun of Danny Ainge. I always watch these old documentaries and clips, and every single one of them, or just watch – I mean, they had the archive full games. And every time the Lakers, Ainge did something dirty, or he was moaning about Magic or Byron Scott or whatever, that's a – I never thought about that, but that's great. Here's what
– I see Danny Ainge every time I watch her play.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. Here's the, I think what's an interesting part about this list, and we mentioned the three young ladies that are at the top. Jared McCain is a true freshman for Duke. He's at $1.1 million. He's had a good tournament thus far. And Rob Dillingham is another freshman. He's earning $1 million. He's the young man from Kentucky. Now, the other guys you've got listed, Baycott's an upperclassman. RJ Davis is an upperclassman, both playing for North Carolina. Apparently, it took nearly $1 million to get Hunter Dickinson to Kansas, $844,000. Zach Edey, $810,000, definitely earned it this year with Purdue. But I think what the issue with NIL, and it's one of the many issues going on, is McCain and Dillingham, for example, are not the best players on their team. Dillingham's fantastic. I think he's got a bright future in the NBA. McCain, I don't think did squat against Arkansas when he came into Bud Walton Arena. Might hit a three or two. But you've got other guys on the team that are not only upperclassmen, not only the leaders, not only are just better players, but are making less money than these freshmen. And what is happening in today's climate of NIL is it's taking more and more money now to get kids to campus, to even in some cases to meet with certain kids. You have to hit a certain threshold. And these upperclassmen and these starters and these guys are seeing it. And it's like, yo, why is this guy, as a true freshman, making more than me when I've earned it, as you said with Clayton Clark, when I've done it? Kalen, for example, it's probably worth more than 3.1.
But and she's getting more than that.
And she is. But that's a huge issue in all this, too.
But see, this is what...
Timing is everything, man. Kalen Clark's hit it at the right time. Mm-hmm. She's hit it at the right time in society. She's not the best female player of all time. Not even close. But she's hit it at the right time. Dillingham, McClain. 2-3 years ago, well, let's just take a couple of years ago when Arkansas signed Nick Smith and Anthony Black. I would feel very strongly and feel like I'm 100% accurate in saying that if you were to talk about their, what would be described as NIL money to get them to come to Arkansas was pretty much nothing. And now I'm not saying they didn't get something when they were here. But it was not used necessarily as a recruiting inducement the way it is even 2 years later. That's what's changed in the NIL, yeah, particularly in basketball, is money up front. But, guys, that's what they do in the NBA. All these kids want to be in the NBA. In the NBA, you get your money up front. You play when you want.
And I haven't fully looked into this, but I think that the NBA delete or is going to end their G League at night team. Because it's in a fail. They're like
they
two
are.
And it's
well,
like what 2-29. So
well, it's not where people want to go.
Yeah,
but to your point with the NBA, you're right. You get that rookie contract, but that's a fraction of what a second contract will be. So yes, you become rich on that first NBA contract, but you become wealthy if you can get re-signed after that initial rookie deal. So there is a lot to still play for early on, mm-hmm, and to prove, but. you know, back to this NIL, this is what everyone was hoping it was going to be, is that Nike or Gatorade or a car manufacturer would recognize that, hey, you have brand power as an athlete, and we want to pay you to be a part of our marketing campaigns. But it's become where collectives are raising money from the fans, like we're trying to do here at Arkansas, and you're getting private money to just pay people to come to school. If what we're talking about here with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and that list of players was all that it was, no issue. But I just hate that players are seemingly, or at least from the outside looking at, going to the highest bidder. I hate that.
Here's the thing that I hope these kids understand, is that this is fleeting. If they are leaving college with the idea that they're going to make a career off their name, image, and likeness, they're mistaken. Because it's going to end fairly quickly. There aren't very many of them that live forever, so to speak, in terms of the public realm. And so that's the one thing that I do wonder about with some of these kids, if they understand that making a living off your name is not going to be a career. I mean, it's just not going to be that way. And I guess we'll find out if they understand or not.
Because there's a pipeline always bringing the next one along, and in the college game, I mean, yeah, we love and celebrate our past heroes, but, we're far more concerned about the current player and how they perform.
Well, if you look historically at the Razorback program, our good players over the years, if they're decent people, our state takes care of our heroes. And we've done that with a lot of guys over the years. And now you're not going to have that as much in the NIL era, because guys aren't going to be able to build that brand quite the way that they did before. But even now, you think about this, and this is the point that I want to make. There aren't all that many Razorbacks out there that have made a living off being a Razorback. There's a handful, but most of them have gone into a different profession, and being a former Razorback has aided them in that. Mm-hmm. But they have not made a career out of name, image, and likeness. For some of these guys, it's going to come to a screeching halt in, a pretty short amount of time. I don't know if they understand that.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, she'll earn this kind of money for 4 or 5 years, and then it'll be over. Go ahead.
I was going to say, she just got offered $5 million. It was under the table, but now it's out that by Ice Cube to play in that Big Three. Yeah. And then she also got by Barstool Sports $10 million to play on their intramural team. So,
well, she's a hot commodity right now, and she better be wise in what she picks, and she better make good decisions, because 5 years from now, it's going to be over. She may still be playing basketball, but the flavor, there's going to be a new flavor of the month come down the pike.
Yep.
I mean, you can just be guaranteed of that. So that's what I and look, I don't know that a full-fledged adult would completely comprehend it until they were right in the middle of it. And some of these kids, and more importantly, some of the people that surround them, I don't know if they fully comprehend it either. But they do understand that people are willing to pay for their services.
Yeah.
And they in many cases, take full advantage of that.
And I think one of the values of Caitlin Clark is she is a female. And because there's a multitude of male stars
out there.
She hit it
at the right time.
Well, that, but she's a female star, and there's just very few of those that are true stars that are females in sports. That's just fact. So the fact that she is one, and a certain segment of the audience is always going to look up to her, and half of our society is females, makes her more valuable to any of these companies because of that. So you're right about the timing, but I think a select one or two female athletes every 4 or 5 years is going to have this opportunity. She happens to be the one now.
So think about this matchup that could potentially await in the Elite Eight if Iowa plays LSU, which, Chuck, you said earlier this week, people are dreaming, or TV executives at ESPN.
I didn't say that. Somebody else said it.
Are hoping it's going to happen. Maybe you didn't. Maybe Clayson.
Hoping which matchup will happen?
LSU against Iowa.
Oh,
in the Elite Eight game, which would
be. But you're right. It would be a dream matchup.
But think of how much money That's $5 million between three players. And that's just the money that's initially being reported between Kayla Clark, Angel Reese, and Flaje Johnson. Three players, $5 million. Mm-hmm. And they're females, too. Mm-hmm. This is not the... that. I think that's what's still surprising to me is that the men, which is heavily more viewed than the females, is that the men's really are... I mean, it's the top three, and they got one that's tied, but that's just odd to me. I was kind of surprised by that.
They're all lightning rods. It's not boring. And that's the most important thing. Caitlin Clark made me think about Danny Ainge. Angel Reese, Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey, lover or hater. Man, she draws eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And there are provocative personalities in the women's game right now. And that's what they've always lacked. It's always been boring. Just candidly, it has always been boring to the average sports fan. Not because, and that is in no way, shape, or form to say the game is not good. It's to say that everything was cookie cutter. You know, you go to one arena, it's the same as the next arena. And men's basketball is in danger of having that happen, by the way. But it's always been that way, women's basketball. Now you got personalities.
Yeah.
You got personalities people argue about. You've got personalities that people really dislike, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, start a discussion on Kim Mulkey. See if you won't get a bunch of opinions among guys. You know, when's the last time you brought up a women's basketball coach among six guys and you got strong opinions from all of them?
No.
I mean, you know, as great a coach as Gino Auriemma is, I never recall a moment in time where one of my friends said, man, I can't stand that guy. And another guy goes, me either, because nobody cared.
Yeah.
Now you got personalities. Well, now you got people out there that spark discussion, and that's what makes it valuable.
Yeah. You think the fight between South Carolina and LSU helped or hurt women's basketball? It was the best thing that they could have had happen at that moment because it got people talking. It made brand names for, you know, Mulkey was already a brand name, but it enhanced hers. Same thing for Angel Reese. Even Dawn Staley, who had to clean up some of that mess, it was good for the women's sports. As much as the commissioners and everybody wants to clutch their pearls, they were privately pumping their fist.
And I'll go back to what you were talking about earlier on the men's side, Ty, showing all the games, you know, showing games in their entirety. I got bored with one of those men's games. It was either Saturday or Sunday. I forget the day. Man, I was over there watching LSU and Middle Tennessee. Not because, you know, I was dying to watch LSU and Middle Tennessee, but because the personalities were more interesting than the ones I was watching on this other game. Mm-hmm. So I give them credit. And you've got to have that spark, man. You've got to have that thing that moves the needle. And right now, the women's game has those personalities for the first time, at least in my lifetime. And that's why these women are making the money that they're making. Now, somehow, some way, if the sport sticks, you got to find a way for others besides three or four of them to make money. But good for them. And they've hit it at the right time, and they're making the most of it. Hey, this week on the Market Moment podcast, David talks to John and Eli about the latest market headlines, like the airline company Boeing going through major leadership changes, Japan's raising interest rates, and is there finally some hope for the current housing market? Well, you can check out the latest episode of the Market Moment podcast by heading to market-moment.com. Now, Mach 1 Financial Group, LLC, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They're located in Rogers, and for full disclosures, you can visit Mach1Financial.com/disclosures.
Big game here in Fayetteville this week, a big series. Starts tonight, 6 o'clock, right here on most of these ESPN Arkansas radio stations. That's what Brent wants to talk about via the McLarty Daniel hotline. Brent is in Searcy this morning. Brent, you got about a minute, man. Fire away.
I'm already in Fayetteville, America for the game. So, Chuck, does it make any difference how Coach Van Horn switched pitching around a little bit with Hagen Smith and then Molina and then Brady Tigert?
Well, we'll see. I mean, Tigert needs to perhaps be a little bit more efficient with his pitching. Brady's really good. I mean, he's really good. I love watching him pitch. But he's laboring a little bit right now, but he'll be fine. I'm kind of like Ty. I wonder if maybe they'll go with this for a while. We'll see.
Well, I'm excited, having my morning heater, so everything's beautiful.
Amen.
Brent, not afraid to promote tobacco.
Yeah. Brent, we'll see you at maybe see you at the ballpark tonight.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I have friends that are avid cigar smokers, and I've never heard of a single one of them smoking one. I mean, he's called us at 6:15 in the morning, well, and he's like, I've got my
heater.
He's
not talking about cigars. He's smoking a cigarette.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know how many people, my buddies that smoke cigs that do it that early in the morning.
That's what a heater is.
Okay. Yeah.
That's an old baseball term.
Ah.
That's an old baseball term. When Jim Leland would smoke cigarettes in the dugout, he was always smoking a heater.
Heater. Okay.
And that's where that term comes from.
Well, I learned something new. I thought that I just assumed that was a cigar, but now I know it's a cigarette. Well, we mentioned it, and I know Brent's excited not to just see what the rotation looks like, but the game this weekend. Tommy, you're going to go today. Going to be there for 6 o'clock later on. This is a big sports weekend. I know it's Easter weekend for all of us, but you think about the combination of both Arkansas baseball as the number one team in the country, the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16, and Elite Eight. You got Arkansas Derby going on at Oakland. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening.
Ton of things, and mentioned earlier that Bet Saracen app, have that on your phone. You can keep up with a lot of stuff there and even track games. But, you know, like you said, across the different aisles of sports, I mean, the Arkansas Derby, Chuck, that's been one of the biggest sporting events in our state every year for decades.
It's a see and be seen kind of place. I can't believe you're not going, Ty. I can't believe you're not going to be in the infield in a seersucker suit.
I missed my opportunity. I'm going to be a good family man and go home and see mom and dad.
Hey, that's probably a better ticket right there to keep you out of the doghouse.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're out and about this weekend, stop in at a Schlotzky's. There's a location near you, and it's one of your places for all your favorites. And try something new at Schlotzky's. Whether it's your first time or you're an old-timer, it's always a good time at Schlotzky's. But be prepared. The smell of their fresh-baked bread will hypnotize you. If you do it right, you be sure to find their meatier sandwiches, and you'll find it always with the fresh vegetables as well. You can get their app on your phone, download it, and you can enjoy some of their delicious deals right now. You'll find Schlotzky's in Hot Springs, Fort Smith, Mountain Home, Fayetteville, Rogers, Springdale, and Siloam Springs as well. It's all at Schlotzky's. Download their app today.
All right, when we return, we've got our SEC coming up in just a bit. Also, want to talk about some coaching changes in college basketball, some that have been filled, some that are still vacant. We'll do that next.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call today. And good morning to this great fan base.
Spring camping season is here. Don't miss the NWA RV Show and Outdoor Party April 13th and 14th at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Rogers behind Nukes. Sponsored by two of the state's largest RV dealers, Wheels RV and Moix RV. With brands you love like Grand Design, Jayco, Brinkley, Flagstaff, Coachman Catalina, Vibe, and Winnebago. On-site financing available plus food trucks, a variety of vendors, and bounce house for the kids. Make plans to attend the NWA RV Show and Outdoor Party April 13th and 14th. 5102 West Pauline.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.